Amen. All right, so this morning I'm just going to be looking at a number of things. But first of all, I just want to say that we went to a retreat this last week from Monday till Thursday, and it was really great. I think it's different when you go somewhere and you're not the person preaching and you can just like kick up your leg and relax and all that. So it was a really fantastic time, and we were taught so many things there which we'll be looking at subsequently. So all those bits and pieces that we were taught at the retreat, we'll start looking at them probably about 3 weeks from now, so we can put them in context. All right, so today I'm going to continue our Living the Life series. Now, the reason why I grouped everything under this Living the Life series is that these things that we're looking at are things that we need to take to heart as Christians. These are things that I'll say these are things that are necessary for us to really live a life that is not, well, to really live out the life that God wants us to live. And we can, so we're just looking at like different aspects of different things in the Bible that we feel are really relevant as foundational. And I believe that as we understand these things, it will really help our perception of God, who God is. It will help our perspective of who we are, the reality of who we are, despite how we might feel about ourselves, and also how we relate to one another. So that's why we're taking time to look at these things. Now, today I'm just going to start still on this Living the Life series. We're going to be looking at what I've called financial stewardship and money. Financial stewardship and money. And we're looking at financial stewardship and money. Now, why are we looking at money? Why are we looking at financial stewardship? What does that mean? I mean, shouldn't we just focus on, you know, I come to church, preach a number of things about, you know, how we should live our lives and how God thinks about us. But money is so important in the context of the world that we live in. And it also affects, or should I say, it has the capacity to also affect us as Christians, the way we think, certain priorities that we have. So it's quite an interesting topic, and it's something that I believe that we need to really have a good understanding about, so that anytime we relate to money, or we have money, or we're, you know, we can really see it from a Bible perspective. So the Bible has a lot to say about money and financial stewardship, and you know, that's all over the Bible. So, but I'm just going to spend today and possibly next week just looking at the really fundamental things, so that really, as we carry on in our lives, we can approach things, handle things, see things from the true perspective. That way, we'll be able to really handle our lives better in the context of money. So today, we're going to look at three things. The first thing is, I'm going to look at what money is. What is money? Next thing I'll look at is money in the context of our Christian faith. And the last one I'll look at is the Christian worldview on money. The Christian worldview on money. Now, so the first thing I want to look at is, what is money? What really is money? Is money this £1 coin, or is it this five? I don't have any notes here. It's a cashless society. So, okay, I happen to have some. So, is this money? Don't worry, that's not a trick question. By definition, this is money in our context. So, anytime we think about money, a lot of us think about this paper that's in my hand, or if it's a coin, or you look at your bank account. But really, money isn't really, or should I say, it's not really this paper that we're looking at. And it's like, hang on, what do you mean by this is not this paper that we're looking at? I took time to look at some definitions of money, and I'll try and put it in perspective as well. Now, I got this definition online from Google, then I added one or two things. It says, Money is defined as anything that can serve as a store of value, and people can save it and spend it. The word there is value. It says this money that we're looking at in itself is worthless, but what it represents is what we're looking at. And it says in this definition, money represents the value of a thing. So let's just hold that down. So what does that mean? That means it's not just this paper or this pound coin that one has that's money. No, money is something that a group of people or a system come together and agree together that this paper represents value in the context of our society. Now, in the old days, I even think in England here, long time ago, there's this thing called trade by barter. In those days, they didn't have this paper money. Some people would say, okay, what's value? You know, money is value as what we've defined. What's value in this context? And in those days, value could be, I have a loaf of bread. That's value to me. You want that loaf of bread. You have a jug of milk or something from your farm. Now, that's in our context, what is valuable. So we come together and we say, okay, the value I put on this loaf of bread is this. The value you put on your milk is this. Let's strike a balance and let's exchange it. So really, money is not paper. It's not this thing that it's value that is, it's value placed on certain things. Now, the other definition here as well that I got is, it says, money is a medium of exchange in this current world. So we see two things about money here. It's not just the £1 coin that you have, no, or the money you have in your bank account. In itself, that is not money. Money is the value attached to a thing or a service. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, what I mean by that is this. The value that you place on this computer, the value that somebody else places on this computer, or should I say the value that the person who made this computer attaches to it, is what is called the worth of it. That is why someone would say, okay, I'll buy that piece of equipment from you, or I'm willing to sell this piece of equipment for $100 or £100. Do you understand? So the representation of that thing they want to sell is money. Do you understand? So money represents value in the context that we live in. That's what it does. So it's not just the paper. Now, why am I taking time to say all this? I'm just trying to say this so that we can begin to have a context within which to look at money and certain things that the Bible says about money. Then we can now begin to appreciate it more. Now, we've looked briefly at what money is. We've said it's value that people attach to a certain thing within the context of a society or culture. Now, the next thing we want to look at is money in the context of faith. Why are we having this conversation this morning? That's because money has, within the context of faith, it has, I'll say there are two things that money can do. Well, and what I put here is that it has the capacity for good. It has the capacity for good. Now, if we look at Acts chapter 2 and we look at verse 44 to 45. Now, in the Bible, money is also referred to as sometimes riches, sometimes it's referred to as wealth. But the first thing we see is that money has a capacity for good within the context of our faith. And it says here, all the believers were together and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. So the first thing we see here is that, you know, with money, we have the capacity to do a lot of good. You know, one can help one another. We can help one another as a church, as individuals. In fact, I even heard that back in England here, you know, we have a lot of charities going on. We have healthcare. We have free healthcare. We have all these things going on. Now, what I was told was that it was the church that began all these humanitarian things. Do you understand? That's why you find that you'd have, even till now, you have like the Church of England schools in England here. You have the church has done so many things. So what I'm saying here is that from a Christian perspective, money has the capacity for good. We see this in the book of Acts that we've just read. And even amongst us here in the 20th century, we can still do good. You know, we help one another. You can help your brother, your sister, your friend, and all that. So it has the capacity for really good, great good. So that's one thing that the Bible recognizes as well. So we're saying, why are we talking about money in the context of our faith? It has capacity for good. However, the other thing is also, money has a lot of challenges that it can pose to every Christian. We'll look at some of these challenges. That's why we need to be aware of this. Now, the first is that, do you know that money can become someone's master? Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Money can become someone's master. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. It says, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, I'll put a PS here. It's not saying, as a Christian, you can't have money, or you shouldn't, like some of the old day monks who just, went to monasteries. They had nothing to do with anybody, and they were just living their lives in monasteries, had nothing to do with society at all. This is saying that one thing money can do is this. It has the capacity to make a man serve it. It has the capacity to make someone serve it. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by this is this. Do you know that one can live one's life in the pursuit of money to the point that it overrides everything about you or about them? I read this story about this man who said on his dying bed, they said, What are your regrets? This man was a very wealthy businessman, and he had spent a lot of his life just in the office, which is not bad, chasing money. He never ever had enough. I remember there was this film we watched. What's the name of this film? The Men Who Built America, this documentary. And one thing that really struck me there was that they were talking about really wealthy Americans like Rockefeller and all those folks that really, built up the economy of America. And one thing that struck me while we were watching that movie, that documentary, was that these guys had so much. One of them was so wealthy that in the 1950s or 30s, he, from his personal wealth, he bailed out the American government from recession. He was so wealthy. But the thing about these guys was that they never had enough. At least that's what the documentary portrayed. Their goal was like, I want to be the richest person in America. I want, and those guys were driven. So this business executive, as he was about to die, he was, he had reached the end. He was on his dying bed. And they asked him this question, what do you regret the most? Or what do you wish you could have done differently in your life? And the guy said, wow, paraphrasing now, that he spent so much time chasing after, success, chasing after money, and he just never got enough of it. 1 million, 2 million, you want the next one. And he said on his deathbed that he wished he could have been able to spend time focusing on his relationships, on his family members, on his, someone's grinning there. No, sorry, I'm just kidding. On his family members. And so this was a man that was totally consumed by it. So what the Bible is telling us here is that even as a Christian, we need to be careful. One needs to be careful that money doesn't become the object of our affection. Do you understand? And it doesn't rule us. It goes further here. It says that someone can chase after money so much that it even begins to compete with their worship of God. Someone might say, hang on, what do you mean by that? Well, if one's heart is so consumed with it, it gets to the point that that's all the person is thinking about. That's all the person is thinking about. And at that point, the Bible tells us here that, you know, it masters the person. So that's one thing we just need to note as well about money. Now, what are the other things that the Bible talks about money or says about money from a Christian perspective? Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verse 24. And let's look at the King James version of this one. Mark chapter 10, verse 24. Mark chapter 10, verse 24. Let's do, can you do the King James version, like not NIV? Okay, so this explains it more. Now, one other thing that money can do is that it can bring us to the point that what we trust in is money. It can shift our trust from God. It can shift our trust for so many things. And it wants us to place our trust in it. Now, I'll read this and I'll explain for that. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered and said again, and said to them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God?" Now, what does this mean? Someone might say, "Well, look, I don't really trust money. You know, I'm a Christian and all that." But do you know that if you want to see, if you want to test yourself about your trust in money, I'm not saying in a bad way. If you want to see how much you trust money or do not trust money, let me give you a test. What goes in your mind? I know for the kids, it's just, maybe it's not really, but don't worry, you guys will get there later. What goes in your mind, or what goes on in your mind when you hear that the economy is going to crash? What goes on in your mind when, say, for example, you hear that people are losing their jobs? What goes on in your own mind as well, if maybe you get to your office and they're asking everybody in your office to leave? What goes on in your mind? Do you say, "Oh my goodness, I'm finished. How am I going to survive?" "Oh my goodness, how am I going to live? All my children are asked for all these Nintendo games and all that. How am I going to start?" I'm just joking. What comes to your... Sorry, you said it's not Nintendo, is it?
I said move to Canada.
Move to Canada. What really goes on in your mind? Are you like, "Oh my goodness, I'm done for"? Are you like, "Oh," are you filled with fear each time you switch on the news and you hear that the UK is going into regression? Okay, regression. I said regression. Recession. Not regression, that's a testing word. It's Brother Charles's fault. He's been making me talk too much about that. What goes on your mind? Are you terrified? Are you concerned? Are you concerned? Well, I can tell you sometimes I am. But when I find that I'm getting so concerned about that, what that means to me, or what that's indicating to me, is that I am beginning to trust money as my mainstay. I was watching this documentary about this. This guy was talking about celebrities and all that. And he was saying, for some of the celebrities, in fact, one of the celebrities was saying that if she didn't have all she had, I mean, the reason why she gets up, the reason why she, you know, performs and all that, is so that she can get all the things that money provides. Do you understand? And as far as she's concerned, if all that is not coming through, you know, all the accolades, all the money and all that, then there's no real point for her. She might as well just sleep in bed. So what I'm saying is that we trust money, as the Bible says here, in different perspectives. It might be extreme in some cases it might not. But that is one thing that money can do. It can make you put your trust in it, which is a slight danger. And I'll explain that in a minute. Now, so we said, in the context of faith, what are the challenges that money poses as well? So we said, you know, you can make one focus on it so much that you become like just chasing after it to the detriment of other things. It can make one's heart can be can trust in the money that one has, or in, you know, one's income as the mainstay. Now, we're going to look at a couple of other ones as well. The other thing that money, that the Bible tells us is this. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. It says that he also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So we see here that riches, or money as the Bible calls it here, it can deceive people. Now, what it does is this. It will give you a lot of promises, I'm telling you. It will promise you that, look, once you have this, once you have that, your life is going to be better. Once you can get a better source of income, once you can get more money, then your life will be sorted. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, if you can get money, you shouldn't get it. Or more money, you know, if you have extra, you can give me and I can help you manage. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that here it is making a promise that it can't keep. It's promising you things. It's putting itself in a place that it shouldn't put itself. So it's promising you certain things. I mean, one of the deceitfulnesses of riches is this. There was this chap a while ago, was one of these like really early pop stars, celebrity. And I think his public record. This guy was like in the early 80s or so. It was a really popular guy, young guy. And this guy was like a rock star. I think he must have been from this. There's one group called, I think it's public record, Nevada. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I think if you're on really rock music. So if you're on that, 35 maybe you might, or 40, you might not know them. But what I'm saying is that this guy, Cobain or whatever, this guy was so wealthy and so rich from all the bits and pieces that he was doing. And after a while, this guy ended his life and he left a note. And the note he left was the emptiness of life, the emptiness of money, the emptiness that, I mean, these guys thought that, look, if I just got this money business, if I just got more money, my life would be changed, my life would be satisfied. And he wrote a note, a very sad one, about the emptiness of it. So money promises us so many things that it can't live up to. It promises you that all you need is to get this, this, and this, and you'll be happy. I remember a long time ago that, this must have been like 1998, and I think Dickness and I just got married then, and I was in university. I was studying IT. Well, we had moved over from Africa. So I was doing a course in IT. And I remember very clearly, both of us that time, we're talking about like almost 18 years ago. I was like really studying hard. I had all these assignments to submit. It was so hectic. And, you know, with all these things. And then, you know what we would do? We would look at the papers then. The internet wasn't very popular. And I would look at this IT job. I would say like, this thing is paying so much. How I wish I could earn. In fact, you know what, dear? If I earned this amount of money, forget it. And we used to look at that then and we're so excited. Oh, I was anyway. I was like, man, I can't wait to, you know. I worked really hard, I tell you. And she works hard with me as well. And what now happened that I got a job after that, and I got in my eyes then a lot of money. I tell you, it was as if, you know, the whole, my smile changed. My wife's smile changed, and you know, but you know what? All the excitement died away just shortly after that. And I said, okay, all right, I need to get this amount now. I'll now, you know, do this course. But nothing. Making empty promises. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not bad to aspire to be wealthy and, to make money and all that, but let's just realize that money cannot keep certain promises that it makes, that you'll be happy if you get it. You cannot be. It cannot be our source of happiness. Because it says here, deceitful. That's why you find some folks, they'll say, look, I want to be a pop star. I want to be this so I can, you know. And when they get there, it's like, oh, this is empty. So that's one thing that money does as well. Now, I'll mention a couple of things as well. Well, there's one in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. I'm not going to go into much detail here, where it says that, you know, money can cause problems as well if one runs after it. We can just note that. Now, the other thing as well, and I'll end this section and go to the last thing, is that Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, verse 33. So, what am I looking at? We've looked at what is money. Now, we're looking at money from the within the context of the Christian faith. We said it has the capacity for good. We're also saying it has the capacity for all these things that are not too good. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33. The last part I want to look at in terms of the things money does or could do to us that is not ideal is this. The lack of money or not having money can really do this to one if one isn't careful. It says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And I think you can put it to NIV. I think so it's more. It says, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. It says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, will be given to you as well. So one thing that money does as well is this. The absence of money causes people to worry. So God was saying here in the Bible, says, look, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? Now, what is this saying? It's saying that, and I hope I can put this, you know, in the proper context. If we put our trust in money, if we put our trust and our effort in getting money, but at any point in time we do not have the money that we think we need, it can cause us to worry. It can cause us to worry. So, money can cause people to worry. Lack of money can cause people to worry. And what the Bible's saying here is that it's not that you want money for anything extraordinary. You just want money for the really basic things, like, come on, you know, eat for food, drink, and what you should wear. So it's not saying you want it for any extraordinary thing. It's saying that if we put our trust in money, or if we don't see or understand money from the perspective of God, our lack of it at any point in time can cause us to worry. I remember at work once, there was this bank that I had. I mean, in my early days, I think my wife would tell you, all I wanted to do was to work in a bank. Actually, not just a bank, investment bank in the City of London. I mean, I was doing everything I could, you know, get all the relevant skills so that I could end up in an investment bank as an IT guy and some money. Oh my goodness. Which isn't a bad thing. And there was this bank that I went for this interview in England, in London then. I did grilling interview. The agent's guy interviewed me first. We had tea, had coffee, asked me all sorts of questions. No problem. I gave him my best English accent. I tell you, I was like, you know, that I went through that one. They said, okay, now it's stage to see another guy in the company. I got to that one. I think there were two guys. They asked me all sorts of questions. Oh, no problem. I, you know, just went through that. Then they said the last guy I had to go through to get that job. Oh, man. This guy interviewed me, and the way this guy was, you know, interviewing me was like, okay, so what's this? I would answer. Then he asked me one off question, like, why did you do this course? How is it relevant? You know, I was like, In my mind, I was like, what's this guy asking me this strange question? Give me the job and let me start my job. You know, I've answered all the questions I need to answer. Please let me start quickly, you know, so I can bounce home and tell my wife, oh, now I work in the city now, you know, earning big bucks. And in long and short, it's like, I was so disappointed because I didn't get that job. I was so disappointed. I was like, well, God knows, you know, all those sulky things. But do you know that the interesting thing is this? I don't know why I'm diverting before I go to what I need to really say. About 60% of the people that worked in that bank, they got to work that morning and they locked them out. They didn't let them into the office. And they just told them on the news, they heard on the news, this bank has had financial problems. So many staff sacked. All of them were sacked. They were terrified. People were distressed. People were distressed. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is that those people now began to say, my goodness, how are we going to eat? How are we going to feed? And all that. And I was really like, oh, that was a close one. But also, I've been in situations where there was a job that I was doing and, you know, I've missed the ask so many times. Where I'll be in a place, they will ask them, they won't ask me. And, you know, but in this particular one, this guy just, they said, oh, sorry, have you spoken to your agent? I said, no, I haven't spoken to my agent. And I knew what was coming. And I said, oh, sorry, your contract has to end now and all that. And, you know, sorry. Oh, I said, no problem. You know, bounce to the house. And what I'd learned something about money, right? What I'd learned is what I'm telling us here, that, and we'll look at that in the next minute. I understood something about money. I still, you know, remind myself of it, that my lack of money should not cause me to worry. At that point in time. I mean, there are times in the past, if I just remember that, even Dickiness and I, there were times in our early days, and even sometimes where we had no money at all, no food at all. In fact, there was a time that we were homeless for about 2 days. Do you understand? Because, you know, we didn't have money, we didn't have anything. There were times that weeks, and we're reminding ourselves that there are times then we're in London where we would go to church, and we wouldn't have money to get back to our apartment. Then our pastor would have to, you know, withdraw money from the cash point. That's okay, bus fare. Can you beat that? But we didn't skip a bit. I wouldn't recommend that, you know. I mean, it's not. So I wouldn't recommend that. But what I'm just saying is that we didn't skip a bit. We didn't skip a bit. We're laughing at. I don't know if she was laughing, but I was like. We didn't skip a bit because, number one, money or the lack of it shouldn't cause us to worry. I'm going to end in the next couple of minutes. Now, how, as Christians, how can we get to the point where we begin to understand what money is all about? How can we get to the point where no matter what happens, do you understand? Money, no money, you're cool. Not that one is lazy and like, okay, whatever will happen. No, no, no. You're trying all you can. You're trying to make ends meet and all that. But, you know, circumstances, whatever. How can you get to that place? I'm going to say one or two more things, then we'll close and pray. Now, the first is this. As a Christian, Matthew 6:33, which we just read. The first thing we need to understand is that it says, your heavenly fathers know that you need them. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The first thing we want to realize is that God is concerned about your welfare and my welfare. It's a bit hard to believe sometimes because of some circumstances we go through. So what that means, do you know the same way that you guys wake up in the morning, or these guys wake up in the morning and they bounce to the kitchen and it's like, what are we eating today? Isn't breakfast ready? I don't know if you get that. Is breakfast ready, mom or dad and all that, you know? How you got the breakfast, how you went to Tesco to buy the whatever, the kids have not, they don't, it doesn't even ring a bell at all. All is that, so is mom, dad, or someone who gets that because they're concerned that, okay, look, these chaps need to eat. The same way God is concerned about each and every one of us. Do you understand? Concerned about each and every one of us. The last thing I'm going to say is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and we'll end there. I think I've taken quite a lot of time. The next thing I want to mention is that God is our source. I'll repeat myself. God is our source. Now, I believe that if we can really grasp this, it will go a long way to really help us to understand how we deal with money and how we can put money in its place. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. Now, God is our source, number one. So what that means is that the economy or the economic situation is not your source. Whatever is going on out in the economy affects the world, but the reality is God is our source as Christians. And if we can really apply that and really believe that, we won't really worry too much, I'm telling you. There's so many things that will happen that it will be irrelevant in our context. Just to round up, I remember when I was told once in one of my, I got to work and this chap, my manager told me, we have to end your contract. All of a sudden, and I was doing good stuff here. You know, these guys had said, oh, your work is so good. Your work is so bad. We love what you're doing, blah, 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 blah. You know, normal story, no problem. And I now get there and they tell me, oh, your contract has been ended. So I said, no problem. When I got home, this was a while ago, one thing I did is I looked at the scripture and I'd begun to understand that God is my source. God is concerned about me. God knows everything in advance. It doesn't catch Him by surprise. So what I did was this. I said, God, thank you for that job that I left. Thank you that I was able to do this, this, and this. Now, what next? I need money to pay my mortgage and to feed all these people. What do I do next? I believe that you have something else for me because you're my source. And that's how I began. I must tell you, not that I'm trying to be, you know, puffy or whatever. I wasn't one bit worried at all. Even though I had the pressure of mortgage, kids who want Nintendo and all this stuff and all these things, you know, not one bit. I just said, God, you care for me. You are the source of everything that I need. I need money to do this thing. What next? And I just began to pray. In that same week, I got a call from an agent. He said, oh, are you blah, 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 blah. I said, yeah. Are you available? Yes, I am. He said, I'll call you back by lunchtime in one day. He called me back. He said, oh, this company, can I do an interview on Skype in 1 hour? I said, I can do it in 30 minutes if you want. He said, okay, no problem. He got the interview for me. And in one day, it doesn't happen like that all the time. Before the end of the day, this guy has offered me the job. Not only that, I was told that I could work from home. I worked from home for 9 months. I didn't go to the office. I was on Skype like this. Everybody's running around. I'm just in my pajamas and like, you know, just eat all the food in the house. And in one day. Now, I'm not saying it happens like that all the time. But what I'm saying is that I understand now more that, look, no matter what's happening around me, no matter what circumstance I find myself in, I have money, I'm not bothered. All I know is that God is there, God is my source, and He will sort me out. Do you understand that? So when we begin to have this perspective, I tell you, we will not be one, masters to money, we will know that it's not how hard you work sometimes that will get you the money you need. I'm telling you, because I've seen loads of smart people, smarter than I am, and they sacked them, gave me their job, sacked. Do you understand? Not because I'm smart or anything, but because I know that, look, hang on, God is my source. God knows exactly what I need. I'll do my part. I'll work hard. I'll study. But really, at the back of my mind, what is going on is this. God will sort me out. I'm telling you, and it seems really simple, but I'm telling you, if we can have it at the back of our mind that God will sort you out, you'll be cool. You will be cool. I'm telling you, I mean, it's worked for me. I'm telling you, for 18 years, I'm telling you. It's worked for me for 18 years. So, let us pray.